This is the Bloom Pod, and I'm Taylor Onion.
And I'm Melissa Lutz.
Each week, we bring you an interview with an everyday person who is chasing big dreams. I interview the guests for the first part of the show, and then Melissa and I get together and recap the main points together.
With the occasional shenanigan.
Please enjoy this week's guest. Well, let's kick this thing off. This is going to be the second interview of 2021. Pumped to have you on. You will be the 27th guest overall, but second interview of 2021. So it's a pretty good seat to fill there. But Ashlyn, I'm going to have you kick things off. Tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about your background and all the things that make you wonderful.
Yes. So I'm originally from the East Coast, New Jersey, born and raised. I'm a middle child of, I have an older brother, younger sister, and I always say we're in completely different stages of our lives because one's 6 years older and one's 5.5 years younger. And I guess like the biggest thing about me is like family is super important to me. Grew up with 11 cousins, so we were just been around each other our entire lives. Every family tradition has been here. And fast forwarding, I guess, my life, I did my undergrad at Boston College, ran cross country and track and field there, which was absolutely amazing. I would say I was the first person in my family to have a traditional four-year college experience, which now for me, I don't think that means anything. It's like you got your degree, doesn't matter how long it took you to get it. And I was the first in my family to get my master's degree. So education has been a centerpiece of my life forever. And sort of how I ended up in higher ed student affairs was because of my undergraduate experience. I had some amazing mentors at BC, female mentors, which was super important to me. And they are actually the ones who sort of allowed me to understand there was a world of athletic administration. I was like, who are these people upstairs that just do all these things? And all of a sudden I'm at an event and it happens. And so I decided to just take a leap of faith, move across the country to LA to pursue my master's degree. Had an awesome experience there, got to meet some incredible people and just experience life in a different way than I had before. And after that, took on a post-grad internship at Women Leaders, and that's where I am now, working in membership engagement for athletics, hoping to ultimately get back into higher ed on a campus and do more so like fundraising, donor engagement type of work.
Okay. Very cool. How was that? I have to ask, cause you went coast to coast. So was it a culture shock making that move to LA, or how was your experience doing that?
Oh my gosh. It was the biggest culture shock in the world. I had never been, the first time I went out there is when I went to like preview day. So I had only applied to schools in LA on purpose. I knew for sure I wanted to go to the West Coast. So I chose location first, which is kind of rare for master's program. But it was a different world. I think people, when I would talk to them, they'd be like, oh, wow, you talk really fast. Like, you're really quick and on the go. Like, you just got to slow down and chill. I'm like, that's not the way you do it over in New York and New Jersey.
Right.
So it was different. And being in Hollywood was very different.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I feel like to your comment about being fast paced, I also feel like that is a product of working or being in athletics. I think that kind of in general, it seems like the spaces, even in higher education, the spaces outside of athletics just move on a different pace than what we sometimes have to do because things change so quickly in the world of college athletics. We got to be able to kind of work on the fly.
Always. You never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. So we talked a little bit about your degrees and kind of your journey through higher education, but I want to ask, so, and as I was doing my research, I came across the title of your actual degree, and it's in human development and communication, which I think is one of the more, I don't know that I've ever heard of anything like that, but instantly when I saw it, I'm like, dang, I wish that's what I studied, because it sounds like all the great things that kind of make up the work that we do in student development or within higher education in general.
Yeah, no, it for sure. And honestly, when I was in undergrad, I had no idea what I wanted to major in. I did communications because it was general. And then my sophomore year, I heard about this other degree in the School of Education, which was that human development, and it was awesome. Like, one, the class size was so small, and I was finally like learning about theories and how it related to people, and had no idea that's what those things were. I was just like going with it. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense now when I think about different scenarios. But it definitely helped me in the sense that, like, I don't think I left BC like, okay, now I know for sure exactly what I want to do, but it actually allowed me to just get better interest. So I think that your degrees in undergrad is just like a way for you to just gain, yes, something extra, but it's not the end all be all.
Right. I think, I mean, the undergraduate experience, at least for me, I don't know how, I mean, I can't speak obviously for every undergraduate person or somebody who's earned their bachelor's degree, but I think for me, the lessons that I learned outside of the classroom were so much more benefit, like the stuff, you know, that we were doing as far as team building, or as far as if I had a group project and learning how to work with different people, and those kind of non-traditional learning environments, so to speak. I think those are really the lessons that have stuck with me today versus, like, you know, advertising 101, where we learned X, Y, and Z. Those kind of small details, it doesn't seem like they've stuck with me as much as some of the others.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's all about the lived experiences, I think, too. So I agree with you.
Yeah, for sure. So we've talked about before kind of the importance of educational or backgrounds in education, backgrounds in student affairs, and having an understanding of that coming into student athlete development or coming into student development in general. We had a guest before the break, we had a guest at the end of 2020, Alexander Martin. We talked a little bit about student affairs backgrounds and student athlete development. But can you tell me, I mean, from your perspective, how has having kind of the educational component paid off into what you're doing today? And what kind of a difference do you see between maybe yourself and the education and experiences that you've had versus somebody who is just like, oh, I was somebody like me who's like, oh, I was an athlete, I didn't know what to do, now I work in student development?
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, I really was really intentional about choosing the postgrad experience at USC just because I really did want to understand student affairs, especially for being a student athlete. I think, like most people, you know, we stay in our own bubble and we don't go across campus and see what's out there. But the biggest learning for me is that you can be so much more valuable as a department if you create those meaningful connections across campus, because there's so many student-centered organizations, departments that we can be collaborating with on both ends and have that equal value on both ends to benefit the student athlete. And I think there are not, I mean, you're seeing a lot more that people are starting to go towards the higher ed student affairs route, which I love, especially if you're in student athlete development. Mm-hmm. But even myself, like, I started off wanting to be in student athlete development, and then I took a different route in this sort of fundraising donor engagement piece. But I learned that through my student affairs background and getting an experience in the School of Education for graduate students and helping to see what their interactions were like with their alumni, and how it's allowing them to have a better experience during their time in undergrad, but also in grad school too. So I think there can be so much more collaboration and less recreating the wheel if you just walk across campus twice a day and meet new people and start just collaborating, for sure.
Yeah, I think there's so many programs, and even in listening to Alexander talk, he's like, oh, you know, we were handing out t-shirts and we had these concerts and this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking back on my undergraduate experience, like, did I take advantage of any of those? You know, if I didn't have to be there as a student athlete to, like, you know, hand out posters or whatever it was we were doing, did I take advantage of any of those cool things that were happening on campus? And the answer is no, I didn't. And that's not to say that, you know, there wasn't stuff happening, but I had no idea, because athletics is such an island oftentimes.
Oh, for sure. And I was on, we called it ACT, Athlete Career Transition at USC. And it was literally a board of, we had our student athlete development team, we had our donor team set within athletics, but also career services across campus sat on it. Black Alumni Association sat on it, and just being able to have those conversations once a month, like, the collaboration was awesome. Like, there's so much more that you can do. So I'm for it. I'm always trying to push people, like, I know you want to do sports management, that's really cool, but just, like, let's talk about student affairs.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole other world there that most people who are interested in sport don't even consider. So that's a great That is a great point. So another thing in my research, of course, I'm hitting on your website here, and your purpose on your website, I'm going to read it back to you, says, or is to enhance the holistic growth of others, elevate the advancement of women, and increase access for women of color who aspire to work in higher education and beyond. So tell me what that means to you. Tell me how you got, I mean, when you're thinking about purpose statements, that's a powerful one. And I would be curious to know your process to how you got to that point, how you pinpointed these kind of specific areas of, hey, these are, regardless of what I'm doing, if I'm in student athlete development, if I'm in donor engagement, this is, you know, the purpose that I want to be having.
Yeah. So the first part, the holistic growth, that really comes from my undergraduate experience. So I don't know if a lot of people do know, but Boston College is a Jesuit Catholic institution, and their whole motto, cura personalis, means care of the entire person. So I feel like I lived that truth through my undergraduate experience. Like, yes, be great in your athletic life, but also be great in your personal and professional spiritual life too. So I took that from them. And then the just wanting to advance women in higher ed, I talked about it before. I did have a lot of mentors who were women in my undergraduate experience, but no one in the department looked like me. I was one of two Black women on our track team. Of 46 people, not many people looked like me. And that's how life had been like up until that point. And then when I went to USC, it was the first time I was in a cohort where the majority were women of color and men as well. And I was like, okay, wow. Like, it's not just, this is not like an everyday normal thing. And we need this to be more in all aspects of life. So because I am so passionate about higher ed, I am now passionate about fundraising and advancement, we need to get more women in those seats too. And so that is really the focus point of my mission statement, I guess, but it's definitely something that I want to do moving forward, whatever that looks like, whether I stay in higher ed, stay in athletics, it's gonna always be what's important to me.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you bring up, you know, that you're kind of more interested in the fundraising positions and kind of alumni or donor engagement, alumni development, those kinds of things, because a lot of times in higher education specifically, we don't think about those being key roles, right? From a higher education standpoint, we're thinking about, okay, you have to have teachers. Obviously the students are going to be important. Can find my words on this Friday. Those kind of are the key constituents, so to speak. And then we've got probably some administrators in there as well who help, you know, run things on the day-to-day. But considering the kind of path really that higher education has been on in the last, I'll say 10, 15 years since the Great Recession and some of these other kind of environmental impacts that we've seen and experienced, I mean, the fundraisers and the development officers are absolutely crucial. So is there, you know, as you've been with women leaders, I mean, have you found yourself developing like a specific relationship tactic that you'll go through, or do you focus on relationships, or what kind of, as you're thinking about, you know, how this relates to what the future looks like, to the purpose statement, all of that, what does it look like for you?
Yeah, well, yeah, because my role at Women Leaders is that membership engagement. So I love being able to connect with our members. And yes, there is a financial component towards that. It's not one of the first things that comes out of my mouth when we're talking to members. And instead of when you see those renewal emails, then you know what my angle is. But it really is about like building those relationships. And that's something that Celine, who is my supervisor, focuses on too. More so being able to retain and build off the relationships that we have rather than just trying to do cold outreaches to anyone and everyone. Right. And I think that we've seen that too, especially after this past year. Our members, one, I know that there's an alley add to being a part of our organization, but I think it's on both ends. What we're able to give to our members, but what our members are able to give to us is so special. So being able to find that commonality and make it a working relationship and not one-sided, I think that's going to be my takeaway when I move forward in my career.
Right. Not just reaching out like, hey, I'm with Women Leaders, do you want to donate? But being able to, yeah, develop those relationships and find, I mean, even through relationships, then you're finding out what people are, you know, if they're passionate about leadership development, then maybe their gift, you know, wants to go towards something that's going to be helping. Maybe it's, hey, I didn't have these opportunities, so I want to give to a scholarship fund and those kind of things. So that's a super important piece of fundraising for sure. So another thing that I want to touch on your website is that you are, I'm going to call you an avid blogger. Is that fair to say?
Okay, maybe you can't. I have two out there.
and up and coming. Yeah. we're in 2021 now, so it's all about aspirational, right? So an up and coming avid blogger.
I'm trying to get on your level.
Listen, I don't have many more out there, so we'll be on this journey together.
Okay, I love it.
Awesome. So one thing, and I think the last, so when I came up with my interview notes here, it was the latest blog that you had written. You were talking about taking inventory of where you're at. And if I'm not mistaken, that was around your 27th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yep. Talking about taking inventory of where you're at, what inspired you to take the time to write that out? And how do you feel now that you've been 27 for a little while now, how do you feel like it's helped you moving forward?
No, I think one, I was thinking about it and I'm like, oh, I haven't wrote a blog in probably about 6 months. I think that was when I did my first blog. And I was thinking about towards the end of the year, because my birthday is right around the new year, I sort of always like to reflect on my birthday rather than the New Year's resolutions. But I was really just thinking about like, wow, like I thought my life would be in a completely different direction, just like everyone else in the world 365 days ago. And I got thrown for a loop. And I think just myself, I know personally, I'm someone who, yes, ambitious, but ambitious to a fault at times, where I'm just like, I need to be at this specific stage in my life. And why isn't it happening when I want it to? And so I was like, okay, like, let's reflect on like, what are the things that really came out of this year that made you improve? And what are some things that you're really fortunate for and things that it's okay to still be not upset, but just like take in the things that didn't happen and be okay with that. And how do you move forward? So that's really what it's been from. It's funny because my friend doesn't know this, but one of my best friends, Maggie, I began writing this blog on my 25th birthday. And I found a draft on my computer. And I was like, oh, I'm going to write this blog, but I don't know if I'm going to put it out there. And I kind of just repurposed it. And I was reading back on where I was 2 years before and where I am now. I'm like, okay, there is significant growth here that like, you should be really proud. So I'm really happy that I was able to do that.
That's awesome. I feel like there's so many, for people who like to write, people who are creative, whatever there. And I say this, I say people, I'm talking about myself. There's so much that you get caught up in trying to like, oh, I have to like, I want this to be perfect before I put it out there. And so I find myself, I've got like an ideas notes in my notepad in my phone. But if I have just like a fleeting thought, I'm writing that out and I'm going back and looking at it, you know, 2 months, a year, however long later, like, this was a good thought. Maybe I could turn this into something else. Or like, what was I thinking when I wrote that?
Right.
Like, that's awesome that it was 2 years ago and you're able to kind of repurpose it and also be able to see growth, you know, in since the 25th birthday now to the 27th.
Yeah, no, it was honestly so weird. I'm like, I hope there's a lot of others out there I could repurpose and not start from scratch. So
right?
That's I was happy.
That's the best feeling. That is the best feeling. So, and in there, one thing specifically, as I was reading it, I'm going to quote you again here. So you say, having described me as someone who puts up walls to finally knock them down and step outside of my comfort zone has taken a great deal of bravery and inner strength. I've recognized that it's essential to pour into yourself and now understand the impact vulnerability can have on myself and others. This is, I mean, for me, I was like, ooh, there it is. Like that hits me right in my core. And I'm reading right now. I just started Daring Greatly and Brené Brown. I think it's at the very beginning of it. She's sharing the story about talking to her therapist and how whatever it was, she was like, you know, is there a way for us to live a wholehearted life if without vulnerability? Like I don't want that connection to be there because vulnerability makes me really uncomfortable. And then she goes on to say, you know, that the therapist was like, that's really interesting, you know, as they like try to pull out kind of the thoughts and feelings behind, okay, why don't you like vulnerability? And she's like, you know, and that made me even more angry. And so I think this conversation that we're seeing from my perspective a little bit more consistently now about vulnerability and its power and its importance and all these great things. So that was that specific passage of that blog really stood out to me. Oh, now, was that part of the repurpose or was that 25-year-old Ashlyn?
That was not part of the repurpose, very much so who I am now. And honestly, I think I wrote that because one, like just being able to like start these blogs and put them out there in the universe was a big thing, but just creating my website and just being more open about things that I feel. And I think like the biggest part of like that vulnerability piece and being able to have an impact on others is, yes, like my great support system reached out to me every time I put something out, but also people I haven't spoken to in years were like, hey, like this really hit me, like thank you, you don't know how much you helped. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something, I created this for myself, but it's really awesome to see that I'm being able to inadvertently help others too.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the best piece of it. When I was starting the podcast, somebody was like, if you continue to do it for yourself, and even if you have listeners or a weekly audience of 40 or 50 or whatever, that's still, imagine yourself going to a conference and you're speaking in a room of 10 or 20 or 30 or whatever. And that's a good feeling, right? So if you can reach even a small amount, then that amount goes out to somebody else. So I feel you there. Vulnerability is scary. Putting your thoughts, your creations out there is very scary. But, you know, as we've seen, I think in 2020, and hopefully it'll continue on into this year as well, is that, you know, people who have taken time to create, there's always somebody who has, you know, either related to the content they put out or whatever it is. So brava to you, and keep, I'll be looking forward to the next one.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit here before we get into the namesake of the podcast. And I ask you about your Bloom experiences. I really want to know how you got started with your Brewery Bliss Instagram page. And what, I mean, do you have, is there a favorite IPA? Was there a moment that you were like, huh, I'm going to start this Instagram page and kind of see where it takes me? How did that come to be?
Well, I always credit my cousin Sheldon, because when I used to live in LA, he was out there in Oregon and he introduced me to craft beer. And I was like, all right, no more Stellas and Coronas. And started going to breweries out there, and it was so cool. So I just honestly jumped into it that way. But also, you know, Tim Bryson has his Instagram account, and I was like, okay, I'm already posting these a lot. And he's like, you should just create one too. I'm like, okay. So I created one, and it's awesome. Like, I just like find it hilarious that I'm able to tap into this really great community online of people I've never met before, but we all are passionate about very similar things. And now I've kind of just ran with it. One of my favorite breweries here in West Orange, New Jersey, is Four City, and I have been able to go hang out with them so much and help them with canning beers and just talking to them about IPAs, which I love. And so it's just been really cool. Like, I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm just love beer and love sharing it with the world. So hopefully some people enjoy it as much as I do.
I feel like that, it like the beer community, I'm thinking about like other specialty drinks, like if the wine community kind of has their own thing, maybe like bourbon, whiskey, those sorts of things. But I feel like the beer community is the only one where you can get into it. You start having a conversation and then they're like, yeah, why don't you come do some canning with us? Or yeah, why don't we do a collaboration on you can name a beer and we'll sell it at our place. So I think that's
my next goal.
Yes. I love it.
Working on it.
I love it. That would be awesome. You mentioned that you've got a favorite one in New Jersey. Do you have a favorite one anywhere else in the country of the ones that you've been to?
Oh man, Boomtown Brewery, that's in LA.
Okay.
I love Space Camper IPAs. That was in Kansas City. Harpoon's a really good one in Boston, so gotta shout out Boston too. I'm really hoping to get to we're in this quarantine, so once we get out,
right,
I would love to go to like a brewery in every state. I'll make that a new goal I just created in my mind just now, but
nice. right here on the Bloom Pod. I love it. That's awesome. I feel like when people say that they get into it, it's from this kind of one singular experience or one person suggested or whatever. For me, and Tim and I talked about this, I think on the podcast, I know we've talked about it offline, but that for me was in Memphis, because my friends were like, oh yeah, we like to go to this brewery or just to go hang out or, you know, after the workday or whatever. And I feel like I got super into it there. But the community is almost like, once you get into it, you don't want to leave it, because it's such like a fun, you know, it's an innovative place. It's a fun place. It's like a family feel once you're in there, and you do meet so many people who are, even if the only thing you have in common is the type of beer that you're drinking, there's still that kind of common denominator. It's easy to kind of form community in that space.
Yeah, for sure. And it's awesome just being able to like introduce people to it too. Like my birthday, I had like a very social distance experience at Forest City and was able to bring some of my family members who had never been to a brewery before. And I'm like, all right, one, this is awesome because there's not a lot of Black people in the craft beer industry. So being able to bring you is really cool, but a new face each time is just awesome.
That is awesome. I love it. I love it. Okay, so switching gears now back to the namesake, as we just talked about the goal that you just made on the Bloom Pod, maybe that was your tiny bloom for the first week of 2021. But let's talk about what is one experience or a series of experiences that you have had that have helped you bloom into the person that you are today.
Great. That's a great question. I would say first one, honestly, I think just taking that leap of faith, like going to LA, like doing something I'd never done before and doing it on my own. And just, it was the first, I think, time I truly did something for myself. So I really appreciate the experience that I have there. Second, I mean, combination of all this, like the support for my family is just something that I am so grateful for. Like, I think back to moments where like my parents were at every track meet, every soccer game, like every big event. And I think that, yes, like they're all separate things, but I think collectively truly helped me be who I am. And then I think just like track in general, which you would say, you know, it's that student athlete identity in you, but I think being able to grow past that, my senior year, having a season ending injury, having to leave that sport identity early was something that just was a huge shock for me, but also allowed me to truly understand and know that like I am capable of so many things outside of just who I am as an athlete.
Right. That identity transition. That is, another piece of the vulnerability that comes into play there for sure, especially when it's something like a season ending injury.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so on the heels of that, then I'm going to ask you, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
I don't know if it's the best piece of advice, but it's the most recent. With one of the owners, actually, at Forest City, we were just talking about this like 2 weeks ago, but we were talking about how like these perfectionists in us, but he was like, you know, I've been telling myself, like, you don't have to be perfect, just be excellent. So now I'm trying to adopt that into my mindset too, like not perfect, but try to be excellent every day.
Ooh. I like it. There's so many good and different pieces of advice that people have had to offer since I've started asking this question more kind of explicitly. And I'm going to have to like put together maybe one major blog post with everybody's advice.
Ooh, I love that.
It's fantastic. Okay. So moving into the final kind of phase here, and I'm going to call it the quick peel. Talked to Melissa earlier and she's like, I'm giving up on the slap shop. You know, I'll just do that by myself. We've been going back and forth on what this should be called. So it's the quick peel round. We've decided, thanks.
Okay.
In large part to the past few guests who agreed that it should be quick peel. So the first question, I got four kind of this or that, and then the last one is a fill in the blank.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So thin crust or deep dish?
Thin crust.
Excellent choice. Although I would have said excellent choice if you said deep dish.
I'm like, oh, okay. I got one right. One right.
I just love pizza. So there's no wrong answer there.
Good.
Second one is favorite movie.
Ooh. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Ooh, okay. All right. Next one, favorite leader.
Favorite leader.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama.
Okay. Love it. I love it. Favorite genre of music.
Ooh, rap, R&B. I'm good. Indie. I have to put them all in.
Do you have a favorite artist?
Drake, for sure.
Excellent choice.
Used, one of the best albums. Put it out there. Into the universe, it is number one.
Yep, I agree with that. Somebody, there was a debate going on Twitter earlier. I'm just like sliding in the comments.
Every week there's a debate. I'm like, why are we doing this to ourselves? There's one answer.
You can't, I will say that you can't go wrong with a Drake album, because I think there's, to me, it's like if you were to put together a best hits, greatest hits, which nobody really does anymore, but I think I would have to pull from almost every single one.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But Views collectively, I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong there.
You got me through 2016.
Yep. Yep. I'll agree with that as well. Okay. Last one. This is a fill in the blank. Onions are blank.
Flavorful. Ooh. I thought about that one.
I love it. I love it. Flavorful. Are you like a onion should be on everything, or is it just like, ooh, you got to add it in where it's necessary? Well,
you know, my favorite, just like saute onions, make a meal real good.
Right. So many meals. I think people don't understand how many meals you can make just like slightly better if you saute onions and add them into it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. People who haven't tried it, they're missing out. It's like
truly. That's something I've learned in adult life, is how many of my favorite dishes involve onions, which, you know, ironic or not, take it or leave it.
Love it.
Oh man. Awesome. Well, that is all I've got for you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Talk about, you know, the blog and your purpose and student affairs. And I mean, we really covered the gamut on quite a few topics here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad I get to bloom finally.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, you've been blooming, but this is just, you know, now you're on the pod.
I feel like I got certified.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, thanks so much. And we'll see you next time.
All right, take care.
Stay tuned for the recap of this episode with my sidekick, Melissa Lutz. I'd like to start by saying that my mouth is on fire.
What a great way to start a podcast.
So I will be, what is the, I don't even know what it's off of, but it's like, who are the five hottest rappers of all time? And he's like, Dylan, 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 Dylan.
That's for
Dylan. but whatever he says, he's like, you know, I'm a rapper and I spit hot fire. And that's what I feel like I'm doing with each word that I say aloud right now.
Okay, but please know that our expectation of you moving forward is to be rhyming.
Oh, no.
You did it to yourself.
Yo, here I go with the flow. Well, I ran out.
Damn. I was like, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to let you ride this out as long as you can.
I know. Who's going to stop me, bro? There's another one. but I should say my mouth is on fire because, as I just told you offline, Melissa, now I feel like people might be curious. I would be. It's because of the pad thai that I have ordered for dinner, which I think I accidentally ordered on a hotter setting than what I typically do.
Man, you got to be careful with that thai spice is no joke.
Yes, I can confirm that now.
Oh no.
What?
Are you there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Now I can, but you did freeze for a little while.
Oh, well, you froze on me, but I thought we were still good.
No, you froze on me.
No, you froze. And speaking of frozen, my first note is a follow-up from last week's recap. And it is to say that the frozen treat that I was concerned about, remember I told you that Susie sent me something?
Mm-hmm.
It was ice cream, and it is divine.
Delectable. Yeah. I watched you sample it, and I have rarely seen a more joyous look on your face.
And now, as another follow-up, you are officially 30, as promised. Do you have some wisdom that you would like to share?
You know, let me think on that, bad boy. I really meant to carve out some time to like sit down and journal and, you know, write down things I want to do in my 30s and prioritize and, you know, goal set.
Right.
Have I done that? No, I have not. I think my piece of advice and wisdom is make more time for yourself and make yourself a priority and your goals.
I like it. I was going to give you a little bit more time to think about it while I sang to you, but since you've answered.
Oh, okay. Let's see what you came up with.
Yeah. I did promise you that I would have a song for you. No.
Now, I will have you know, I'm expecting it to be in rap form because you did promise to spit fire.
Okay. This I was not prepared for, but if I were to give myself a beat, it's your birthday. No, I'm not going to do that.
Aww, it started out so strong.
Well, that's where it was going to end. It's your birthday, Melissa.
Was it?
It's nothing. Well, I was trying to.
Oh, you had a whole week to put that together. I don't know how you put it.
That's not.
You had enough time.
That's not what I put together. What I put together was a song, but you just said that I was supposed to rap. That's what you were expecting.
Oh, okay. I undo that. You don't have to rap.
I only had 30 seconds to prepare the rap, as evidenced by the three
and
seconds.
You came up with, it's your birthday, Melissa.
I couldn't think of anything that rhymed with Melissa.
There's not a lot of things.
That really threw me off. What I was going to sing to you was, of course, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Melissa. Happy birthday to you.
Wow. A beautifuler? Maybe I'm not wiser in my 30s, but a more beautiful version has never been sung to me, probably.
Wow. What a compliment. probably.
I can't remember all the birthday songs.
That's fair. I did consider doing, you know, the Marilyn Monroe, very sensual happy birthday, Mr. President. But
you can sing that to me offline after.
Yeah, I thought maybe people would be weirded out by that. So I'll stick to the partial rap followed by your classic birthday tune.
In an old-timey voice, I'll have you.
Yes, in an old-timey voice.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, thank you for that. I feel special and loved.
Good. I'm pleased.
Me too.
Another thing that I want to just throw out there is that I used my mic for the actual interview. I think that's the first time I've ever done it. And it was really wonderful listening back to the sound.
Yeah, you are very crisp, clear.
So fresh and so
understandable. Clean. Other descriptive words. I did notice it.
Delightful. I'm very pleased to hear it. All right, shall we get into the recap of Ashlyn Fields?
Yeah, we should.
All right. One of the first notes that I have here was when she was talking about going to USC. What's the first thing? When you hear USC, what's the first thing that you think of, or the first person that you think of?
Zane Train Dynasty.
Yep. I, as she was like talking and describing that, I was thinking about how he, what was it? Up and left second semester of freshman year.
That sounds right.
And then he came right back and he had been accepted. I mean, obviously he got into Illinois. He decided he wanted to go into business school. And then was accepted to like NYU and USC and maybe one or two other places. Goes to USC, decides that he misses us too much, and comes back to Illinois to finish his 4 years.
What a guy. I wish everyone who was listening knew our friend. His name is Zane. Full name is not actually Zane Train Dynasty, but he did assigned that to himself. Mm-hmm. That is not a name we made up for him. It was a self-inflicted. That's not the right word. Self-assigned.
Self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed Zane Train Dynasty and a dear, dear friend of ours. Yeah. What a goofball that guy. He is one of the smartest and goofiest guys simultaneously.
Yeah.
I've ever met.
We might have to get Zane on the pod. He's had some interesting stuff go on in his world.
And he's been real successful. He'd be a good one. Good job, Tig. That's a good idea.
That's all part of my plan is to just interview our college friends.
I do think while we're on the subject of Zane, we do have to tell that story about a road trip. Yes.
Yes.
To kind of paint a picture of who Zane is and prep everybody for when he's on here.
Mm-hmm.
And then back to Ashlyn, I promise.
Yeah. Well, in classic Taylor and Melissa fashion, we
jump around. Yeah. Jump around.
We're very sing-songy in 21, in 2021.
Yeah, we are. Oh, I wish I was 21. But speaking of 21, when we were almost 21, we took a little spring break road trip down to visit our friend Aaron's sister in New Orleans, and then we went to Gulf Shores, Alabama to put our butts in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you guys knew Zane. I don't even know if this fully paints a picture of who he is. He's just great. But it was his turn to drive, and we were driving through, was it Jackson, Mississippi?
We were approaching Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes. And he had been there before. He's from Texas, so he's like more familiar with the surrounding states. And in his typical like little tour guide self, he was like, so this is Jackson, downtown Jackson. It's not much, but keeps the people coming back. And then Aaron looked out of the window and was like, Zane, I think that's a hospital. sweet Zane was sure that we were in downtown Jackson, but it was just a hospital.
Right. Which has become that quote. So this is Jackson has become a very common part of our daily vernacular, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh man.
What a guy.
But so a long story short is that when she started talking about her time at USC and how she specifically applied to places out in LA, I was thinking of Zane and how he left for one semester and really talked it up. I mean, I feel like every other day he was like, dude, you would love it out here. And then he actually loved it back where we were.
Yeah. I think it was a trade-off. You get comfortable in one situation, then especially in college, right? Like you go, your expectations are kind of set then. Like, this is what I'm used to. This is what college is going to be. This is the type mm-hmm. of friends I'm going to have. This is what we're going to do in our free time. You're really like establishing a new life for yourself outside of the home. And then he just like up and uprooted himself right away. And right. I can only imagine that'd be really tricky and right. difficult to adjust to.
I can't think of a greater compliment that he, you know, thought he wanted to pursue something different academically, left the school, and then was like, gosh, I can't do college without those guys. So he came back.
Yeah, I don't know that we can take 100% credit.
Well, I'm going to, because this is our podcast.
That's right. It was all us.
But on to my next point about Ashlyn, in talking about, you know, kind of the culture shock moving from coast to coast. You know, she talked about the difference, obviously, from New Jersey to LA. And then I was thinking about you, because you kind of did that too. And your experience with, you were like, you know what, I want to live in Denver and I'm going to figure it out from there.
Yeah, I did do that. Well, it was a tumultuous couple of years trying to decide where I wanted to be. But I knew I wanted to get out of Chicago and like explore something different before I got too settled.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could always come back if I realized that Chicago was it for me, but I kind of felt like I had to spread my wings and see some more of the world before I settled anywhere.
Right. Do you think you ever will go back?
I don't know. Some of my favorite people in my life are still there. Mm-hmm. Not to say I haven't made wonderful, wonderful friends in Denver, but like my family, my sister, my cousin, some really good friends are still back in that area. And that's what I miss most. But then I also had, there's a lot of people from Chicago out in Colorado now, and I find myself meeting them. And then we always just reminisce about all the great things about Chicago and all the street festivals and just all the unique things that like sometimes I forget about because we don't have them here. And then I'm like, wait, I loved doing those things. And right. then I get all sentimental and call my sister, pretend everything's fine.
They do say that distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now things are shut down there. So I'm glad to be where I am because I can like get out and hike and not be cooped up
yeah.
all the time. But
right.
I do miss Chicago.
Yeah, I will say the same about the state of Illinois in general. If there's a place, I mean, you have obviously hiking and mountains and that kind of stuff and the weather in Florida during a time of quarantine when you can't do much besides walk around or be outside has been a pleasant, it's been a bright spot in an otherwise dingy time.
Yeah. Oh, and I have questions for you, Taylor, because you've done this a couple of times. You've kind of uprooted your life and moved around. And for me, when I moved, I kind of accidentally stepped into a really big community of really awesome people through Generous and through Humanity and Hope United, our partner nonprofit, and just through like the people associated with that. And my roommate started a organization for women to volunteer and give back and build community. And I just found, now I find myself here surrounded with more of a community than I've really ever known. And I'm really grateful for that, but I'm always curious, like, how do other people do it? How do they move and build friendships and, you know, kind of start anew? It's got to be intimidating.
You know, I think it is an intimidating process. And it's so funny that you should ask me this question, because I was just watching some TV show where the parent dropped a kid off at school. And I was thinking how at the beginning of that, you know, going into college as a freshman, you're like a little bit nervous, but you know, or you have a general idea that you're probably going to be fine. It's just, it's not as scary because it's all still new. And I, for me specifically, I had the team, you know, so it was like a built-in set of friends right away. But I was thinking about having to do that now, 12 years later, and it's much more, it seems much more daunting now than it did at 18 for whatever reason. And I have done it a couple of times. I mean, I was in Memphis for a little while, was in Carbondale for a shorter while, and then have been here obviously for the past 3-4 years, but, there's no, I don't know, there's no like step-by-step process, but I do think that being able to foster that sense of community, whatever it is, as soon as you get to the new place, so that you have, you know, something to, I don't know that I want to say distract you, but it almost is. Like if you have a sense of community, then you're going to be distracted from maybe the occasional homesickness or, you know, feeling of missing out on something that, that you're too far away to attend or whatever it is. So.
True.
It's, yeah.
And interestingly enough, you've set me up for an easy segue into beer community.
Mm-hmm.
And how Ashlyn was talking about how it's easy to make friends and, you know, meet people. It's just a very welcoming, creative, fun community. And I do love the brewery setting, or, you know, just going and sitting down and playing games with friends, talking to the people next to you, which isn't so much a thing now with COVID because they do not promote mingling.
They don't.
But is that so, like, when you first moved to Tampa, were you ever one of those people that could, you could just like take yourself out on a date, like go to a brewery, sit by yourself, have a beer and like actually enjoy your own company? Or did you feel like, is that something that would make you feel weird?
When I was in Memphis, I would have been like 24, 25-ish. And at that time, I would have felt weird. I think when I moved to Tampa, then I was like, I went to see John Mayer by myself and I was much more likely, and I was much further and in a much different environment than what I was in Memphis. That work environment was so much like what it was like at Illinois and having kind of the built-in team. I mean, pretty much at the time, I would say the vast majority of that staff was, you know, mid, like young to mid 20s, single, you know, no kids, that kind of thing. And so everybody was like, hey, let's go get a beer after work, or hey, let's go check out this new spot downtown. And there was a lot of growth happening in Memphis at that time too. And I had roommates. So it was easy to be like, we would all get off work and then we would go do something. But I think that's something, you know, kind of being able to be comfortable in your own skin and being able to be fine going out. And I mean, Ashlyn talked about this, going out and talking to the bartenders or to the brew masters. I don't know, what should we call them? The brewery folks, the brewery community. And Tim talks about the same thing, like being able to go out and kind of forge those relationships in spaces where you don't have them. I think it's such a valuable and underrated skill. I think people kind of take for granted. I know that I do a lot of the time, you know, being able to step outside of the comfort zone of the relationships that you already have. I think it's something you're great at as well, obviously, as evidenced by what you're doing with Generous and the coffee shops.
Oh, shucks.
But yeah, I think it's not something, it's something from my perspective that you have to grow into if you're not kind of wired that way to begin with. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty outgoing person and it makes me uncomfortable even still, but I will say that some of my favorite, well, they're good in different ways, but like I love traveling alone every now and then. But every time I like go to do something by myself, I'm like, at first I'm like nervous and uncomfortable and twitchy and like, I'm just going to go back to the hotel. And then I sit down and I meet really cool people and have really good conversations. And it's just getting past like, you know, that point of feeling uneasy and uncomfortable, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit. And I've met some of the most wonderful people and just like had an amazing time. But I think it's, you know, we have to actively sometimes remind ourselves to like get outside of our comfort zone a little bit.
Right. I sometimes feel that way. Like if we were, I sometimes get those jitters when I'm with people that I have known for a while. Like it's so much excitement to like get to the place and sit down or to get to, you know, be together or whatever it is. And then it's like, what are we supposed to talk about? What do we normally talk about? I've known these people for so long. How do I keep up conversation with them?
I already know everything about them.
I know.
What do I ask them?
What are we supposed to talk about right now?
So are you still from Illinois? Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Great to see you again.
Is that how you feel going into these podcasts with me?
Not usually, because I feel like we're past the point of no return is what came to mind, but that's not this.
I can't get out of this.
My mind just suddenly went to the Phantom of the Opera. So I almost wanted to sing that to you.
You can. We are sing songy today.
I was gonna say after the rap debacle earlier, I can't spit any more hot fire.
All right. We'll let it go.
No, I don't, because we normally have a list of notes that we're going to actively go through, and then somehow we segue into all these other places.
True. Okay. I just figured, you know, if that's how you felt going into conversations, like this is one where like people are actually listening to what we're saying, hopefully.
Right.
People, I'm looking into my camera. I can see you listeners. But I can't.
Maybe that's something that we should do, is have like, you know, a deck of cards with conversation starters or notes.
I've got those. I already have those.
Do you?
Should I go get them?
Well, no, not right now, but maybe for next time.
Wait, they might be within reach.
They're close by.
Well, I have a backpack full of games next to my bed. Who does it? I found them.
Wow, that was fast.
I know, I'm good. And Taylor didn't even edit any time out of that.
No, I didn't. I sure didn't. That was the quickest I've ever seen you find anything.
Yeah, because my room is chaos. So here's a question. Do you think about your environmental footprint? Why or why not?
My environmental footprint, I'll say yes, more so in the last like 5 years than I ever did at any point before that. And why? Mm-hmm. Because there are some serious climate change things happening. And I think there's, you know, minor tweaks that we can make to our daily lives that will help the planet be a better place for future generations.
Yes, we owe it to the future people and inhabitants of Earth.
Right.
I agree.
I would want to also mention the philosophy of, I believe it's Waka Papa from
Waka Flocka,
the rugby team, the All Blacks.
I'm so sorry. I just
Waka Flocka. The concept of Waka Papa, which is a concept from the rugby team, the All Blacks. I think they're based out of New Zealand or Australia, maybe. And they it essentially means leave the place better than you found it. So when I think about the environment and the earth, that's what I would like to think of.
Yeah, we're certainly not doing that.
No, we're not doing a great job at that.
But we can take little steps to help reduce our footprint. That's and right. Not leave the world quite as bad of a place.
And climate change, if you're listening and you'd like to sponsor the podcast.
No. Just go away.
Or stop changing.
Yeah. That's what I meant. The change should go away, not the climate.
Right.
Okay, great. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Right.
Well, that was a fun little change up.
I wish I had those for the quick peel rounds.
Ooh. You can borrow them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So the next note that we were talking about the brewery community, and I wanted to bring up her Instagram page, which is called Brewery Bliss, and I would highly recommend that everyone go follow it. And when I was, you know, looking at it the other day and all the great things, because it's not just beer that's featured on there. And it says on her bio, flights of beer, fitness, and felicity. And I had to look up what felicity meant, because the only felicity that I know of is Felicity Huffman.
Right. Or the TV show. That's what I thought you were going to go for.
No, I don't even know the TV show.
It's called Felicity.
You don't say.
It's from like the 90s. It's what's her face with the curly hair. That's all I know. I didn't watch it. I just know of it.
You're just aware of it. Well, maybe that's what came up. Oh, it is what came up first in the Google search.
Hey.
But the definition, if anyone is curious like I am and enjoys new and exciting words, which I guess it's not new, but it is exciting to find out a new definition. The number one definition is intense happiness. And the number two definition is the ability to find appropriate expression for one's thoughts.
I like both, and they both apply.
Yeah, delightful.
Wow.
Quite delightful. But one of the things I like, and I'll say, oftentimes when I see Ashlyn's stories on the Brewery Bliss page, they involve some sort of a workout, and it occasionally inspires me, sometimes puts me to shame because I'm watching it from the couch. But what a cool way to spark community and like have these tie-ins, because a lot of times other people from the beer community are tagged, and whether or not they know each other in real life, who knows, but they're all doing these like workout challenges on the story. That's cool. Which I think it's so cool. Yeah,
that's like the virtual version. Do you remember when I did Run Club in Denver?
I do remember that.
It's like the virtual version of that. So we'd start and end at a brewery, and then you'd run a 5K, and then they'd feed you after for free. And I met a lot of cool people that way. It was just like, everyone was like, hey, I ran too. You know?
Right.
What you were saying about having something in common.
Like, right.
That's one thing we had in common. Hey, we both survived, and now we're both eating pasta.
Do you, or how many states do you think you've been to a brewery in? That was a very long way to ask a simple question.
I thought you were just going to ask me how many states I've been to, and I was curious what it was leading up to. I need more prep time for that question. I can't think of all my travels.
I think it's only four for me.
Really?
Yeah. Illinois, Tennessee, Florida, and Colorado.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of other places that I've been. I guess, I don't even know if you would call them a brewery in Europe. I think those would just be pubs, really.
We went to that brewery in Germany.
Which one?
You know, the one.
All right.
I don't know. It was the first night I got there in Munich.
The Hofbrauhaus. You're right. Yeah. You're right. The Hofbrauhaus.
Never tire of hearing that.
Oh, that was a good time.
Okay, wait. Did you take? You were not going to make the people listen to me think out loud about how many states I've been to a brewery in. We'll come back to it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I have a note.
Okay.
What college did Ashlyn say she went to?
She did her undergraduate at Boston College, yeah.
Okay, so she was talking about how they have like a more holistic approach to education and how they take like mind and body health into consideration. It's like a more big picture, like promoting positive mental health, taking care of like yourself all around so that you can learn better and be more successful. And I've never heard of a college doing that. And I think it's so freaking cool. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, so freaking cool. And they have the major or the degree, human development.
Yeah.
How cool does that sound? I mean, I guess it makes sense because they're so focused on the holistic development, but what a neat thing.
Yeah, I was driving back from my acupuncture appointment, listening to this interview, and I was feeling very like holistic, healthy, natural, you know, feeling my goddess self.
Were you feeling felicitous?
Is that a word?
I think so.
Yes.
I'm going to look at
it. I was feeling writing my words. What was the second definition of it? No, I was feeling joyous.
Felicitous is a word, and it's also okay. A coffee shop located in Tampa. I'm finding out just now. Felicitous, if you're listening.
We could use some coffee.
We don't know anyone that's involved with coffee. Just kidding, we do.
No one.
Felicitous is an adjective, well chosen or suited to the circumstances, pleasing and fortunate.
Huh, okay. Sure, yeah, I was feeling felicitous. I was just feeling, you know, spiritual and, I don't know.
Zen?
My hippie self was coming out.
Yeah. I wonder if people enjoy getting definitions of words, because I feel like we do that relatively often.
Your mom just turned us into 2x speed.
You know what I have to tell you?
What?
Did you see in her feedback email that she said that she was listening to it on 1.5 speed when we called her out?
I did see that.
Too funny.
She's consistent, if nothing else.
She is.
She's a lot of other things too, though.
Yeah.
A lot of other great things.
Yeah. The other note that this is my last note, because we've covered, as I'm looking through these, we've covered everything else on here, is her blog post from her 27th birthday, where she was talking about vulnerability. And I know how much you like vulnerability.
Yes, I love it so much.
just as much as me. And, you know, recently Erin told me that she didn't want to hear that vulnerability was good for you, because she did not believe that it was better to keep up walls. And don't even try and tell me that you can put a positive spin on this.
sounds healthy.
Right. But what she says, what Ashlyn said in the blog, as having described me as someone who puts up walls, I was like, oh, that's me. And I do think that over time, because of the experiences, because of the blooms that I've had in my life, I have found vulnerability to be more and more important. It doesn't make it any easier to lean into it, but it is a cornerstone of empathy, I think.
A cornerstone.
Felicitous.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to derail the nice message that you were sharing.
I was excited to say cornerstone. I'll admit that.
Yeah, vulnerability is great and is an active practice. And I say practice because you have to continue practicing it. That was a well put together thought, Melissa. Good job.
I did not know if you were going to bring that home for a minute.
I didn't bring it home. And Felicitas, if that coffee's on its way, that would be much appreciated.
Oh boy. Well, like I said, that is the last note. The only other thing was, I mean, it's really just a sub bullet to the vulnerability, but that's something that I think in the last year I really tried to lean into, because there was a lot of hard stuff that was happening both globally and individually in my life, in your life, obviously. And that seemingly has continued into 2021. So I am going to continue leaning into vulnerability.
Me too, I guess. No, I will.
Come on.
I'm going to ask you a really personal question next round.
Oh, boy.
Next interview. See okay. How you're doing with your practice of vulnerability.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah, hold me accountable.
What are your skeletons, Taylor?
I thought you said you were going to ask me the next time.
I know, but I really am into right now doing this weird voice really close to the microphone. I can't wait to hear how it comes out in the podcast.
I am eager as well. It's a mixture between like a late night radio show where they're like, coming to you live from KWXZ, playing nothing but the hits. Like
Drake.
Right. That seems like what's happening.
That's kind of what I was going for.
It's like that, or it's like some sort of a very mellow coffee shop. Like, Melissa, your order is ready.
That's not what generous is like.
Okay, fine. Maybe.
But I guess I could start doing that. People maybe, might not come back, though.
Maybe Felicitas is like that.
Yeah. We'll never know.
We will never know.
Should go. Yeah,
we could find out pretty easily, I think.
Yeah, report back. That's your homework until next week.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Go enjoy yourself a cup of joe at Felicitas.
We're already doing advertisements for them.
They're going to be like, we politely decline. Please do not speak on our behalf.
Right. But since you're already doing it, please keep promoting our coffee. Oh boy. All right, buddy. Shall we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, but on with our lives. Oh, that's me. Okay.
Yep.
Here we go. And that's the way the onion peels.
We'll see you next week. Another fabulous guest is on tap. In the meantime, like, rate, review, hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Let us know how you are enjoying things. Make sure you follow us so you can get notified when new episodes come out on Spotify. And like I said, we'll see you next week.